You listen to me, everything that I'm telling you, this matters tonight. You have to be able to settle down in your heart. You must purpose in your mind and in your heart to know that it's not going to happen overnight. We want everything yesterday. We're living in a microwave religion, if you will, that we think we get in here, get saved, get baptized. Man, we're ready for a pulpit, but we don't understand how many times that there's been people that has went through some things for God to prepare them for such a time as this. It's going to take some time for us to get there. I never forget the first time that I went down to the Bible college that your pastor was at. There was a man by the name of Kim Bowman. Some of you may know him. He was preaching, never heard of him, didn't know him from John Brown. I sat there and I was bringing some young folk to be able to look at the college, and I was just seeing what was really going on. And he talked about an illustration, and he was preaching about how we get weary and well-doing and different things. But he was talking about a time that he was at a camp meeting, and he had sat over there and on the side, and there was a young preacher that was sitting beside him. And as any man of God would, he had a sermon that was in there, and all of a sudden the pages flipped open, and this paper had fell down, and it was an outline of a sermon. And of course, just like any other young preacher, he picked it up and he looked at him and said, "You know what? I got me a sermon now that I could preach. Praise God, I'm ready." And we say that because that's literally how we feel. We got a good outline, and we're not bragging about that man of God, but we're looking up to him, and we know that there's wisdom in that. But I'll never forget the words that Brother Kim Bowman had said. He said, I looked at that young man and he said, "Son, you don't want to pay the price that I had to pay for God to give me that message." And here's why, because sometimes what we learn is going to take some time. As a young man, as a young preacher, as a young person, as a mom or dad or a layman or a servant or a teacher or a preacher, for us to get where God's going to take us, it's going to take some time. The Bible says in verse number 7, you know the verse, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Somebody say, "Thank God." Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The God of all grace, thank God he's the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Listen, I thank God for that promise, because I'm going to be honest with you. One of my favorite words that I see in verse number 10 is that word that you find there where it says that you may be established, strengthened, but that word that stands out by being settled. Listen, I like to be settled. I'm not too proud to be able to tell you that. I'm not embarrassed to be able to say that I like a settled life. I think everybody here tonight would agree that I like for everything to be all right. I don't know anybody that tries to go on a cruise and wants to jump into the middle of a hurricane. Can I get an amen? That's not what we're looking for. I like it when my home life is settled. I like it when the ministry is settled. I like it when my finances is settled. I like it when my family and my son and my wife and things are settled in my life. There's a sense of peace that comes down on the inside of me because I know that everything's all right. The boat is not rocking, if you will, and I'm thankful for those times in my life where everything seems to be settled. What I don't like is when it's unsettled. Can I get a witness right there? But you know, there are some things that God has settled. The Bible says in Psalms 119, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Can I just stop for a moment and testify and say I'm so thankful tonight that we got a written word that's settled down in heaven forever, that it seems like when nobody else has got anything, I got the precious word of God. I don't have to ask nobody, don't have to read a book, don't have to watch Dr. Phil or Oprah Winfrey. I know exactly what God says. I praise the Lord that His word is settled forever. Amen. The Bible also tells us in the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, listen to this, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. It tells us that the gospel is settled. Listen, there's a lot of things that we could trust in, but I'm glad tonight that the gospel is not like everything else. The gospel is not like church membership. The gospel is not like your finances and your money and everything else you got. The gospel is settled forever. What's that mean? It means that if I know Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. And we understand, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. I can know without a doubt I'm saved. I'm thankful tonight that I know where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm glad that I've met the way. I'm glad that I trusted the way. I'm not trusted in a president. I'm not trusted in a preacher. But I've done exactly what the Bible says. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank God that the gospel is settled forever. As much as I love that word settled, that's not the word that captivates me in verse number 10. If you notice in verse number 10, it says, after you have suffered a while. That word after is a word that's known as time. In other words, it sets into a timeline. I like the settled part. I like the streaked part. I like the established part. I like when everything is smooth and strong, and I can feel like I got some confidence. But that word after says that I might not get there until something else happens in my life. Listen, everybody comes to church and, man, they get saved. And I was talking to this young couple today and I told them it's not going to be easy. Why? Because I remember when I first got saved, I thought everything was going to be great. I thought everything was going to be wonderful. God was going to change it up. Oh, thank God he did, but he had to work on me. And here's the principle. Sometimes we forget that for us to ever get to where God's taking us, he's got to take us through some things, because it's after we have suffered a while. That means it ain't going to be easy. I would dare say for some of you couples that have been married for 40 plus years, you can stand and say that God's been good, but you've been through some things in your marriage. Can I get an amen right there? You've been through some rocky times. You've been through some times where you had to hold to God's hand and know that everything was all right. There was probably times that you didn't know how you was going to make it. When the devil began to fight you, there was news that you got from a doctor. Hey, but I'm glad that the Lord allowed you to come through some things to hold tight to his hand so you can love God and love each other. Thank God for God's goodness tonight. But again, this word after. I guess I'd propose to you this thought: the same God that settles, unsettles. Are you getting what I'm trying to tell you tonight? In other words, everybody thinks that God is good, and God is good. But let me tell you something. God is good no matter if you're on the mountaintop or down in the valley. God is good no matter if a child is born or somebody dies of some kind of sickness. God is good. The Bible says in my Bible, in my King James Bible, in everything give thanks. Not in some things. Not just when you're healthy. Not just when you're rich. Not just when the pews are full. Not just when the songs are good. Not just when people shout. But in everything give thanks. Why? Because God's good all the time. But the same God that settles is the same God that unsettles. We say, well, we want things ironed out. We want it to be fixed. We want the storms to cease. But listen to me. If we got what we want, what happens when the next storm comes? God never teaches anything. Some of you know there was a great missionary by the name of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was used in a great and a mighty way, and there was a young man that came to him, and just like any other young man or young preacher or young person, they went to this man of God and they sat down to him and they said, I need some wisdom, if you will. And they begin to ask him some different questions, as many of us would, and begin to ask him, what is it that you could tell me? And of course he was trying to get wisdom on where to go and what to do and all the other things. And they'd sit down there and they'd begin to have a cup of tea and different things, and they was talking about some different stuff. And that young man was just sitting on the edge of a seat watching that missionary Hudson Taylor, waiting for the next principle, the next great truth to be able to tell him something. He was waiting for the very thing, that golden nugget, if you would. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the silence, when he was sitting there talking, Hudson Taylor sat there and he smacked the table. And everything that was there began to do it. And of course, it startled that young man. And that young man began to look at Hudson Taylor, and he captivated his mind. He arrested his attention and he looked at him, and Hudson Taylor looked at him. He said, son, when you begin to serve the Lord, the trials will come as blows. And just as all that tea came out of those cups, it's only what's inside of you will come out when God begins to allow the blows to come in your life. And you listen to me, Christian, there's going to be times that you and I are going to face some things. There's going to be some times that your family will face some things. There's going to be some times that your marriages will face some things. There will be some times that this ministry will face some things. Praise the Lord for what the Lord has done. But there is going to be some hard times that you will face, because God always works. Why? Because the same God that settles is the same God that unsettles. But when the blows come and when everything begins to happen, it's what's on the inside that's revealed on the outside. Why? Because the same God that settles is the same God that unsettles. I want to give you a few things about this thought just being unsettled tonight. First of all, I want to give you the principle, if you will. The settling work of God always comes after the unsettling of God. If you're interested in taking notes, you can write down just the principles. What do you mean by that, Brother Jason? What I mean by that is you and I will never get to the settling of God until we go through the unsettling. You will never get to the 10-year celebrating of your marriage and your anniversary until you go through some unsettling. I mean, listen, my wife and I was in church. I was a youth pastor. We were serving the Lord for about 7 or 8 years or so. Everything was going good. Man, we went to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, went to Sunday school. I was running up and down the road, picking people up in the van. I was working at a nursing home, and I was preaching to them, and I would go over to the prison, and I would preach to them, and I would go and travel with the youth choir, and I'd preach to them. Man, we was running up and down the road, taking young people in, letting them live in our home. Everything was going great. I was helping my man of God, holding his arms up. I mean, I was singing in the choir. Man, I'd sing with all that I had. I was giving my offering. I was serving God. Everything seemed to be good. And then it seemed like right in the middle of it all, God began to blindside everything. And the very marriage that I thought was the greatest and the strongest thing, the Lord allowed things to come, and He began to teach me that just because I was taking my wife and my son to church does not mean I was making them love the Lord. See, we're so interested in bringing people to church, we need to bring them to Jesus. Somebody say amen. And just because, and I'm not trying to get in your home life, and I'm not trying to get in your business, but I guess I'm trying to get in your business. Listen, when you come to church, this ought not to be the extent of your Bible study. Somebody say amen right there. Listen, you can't just get full on Sunday and think everything's going to be all right, because when the trials come and it hits your marriage and it hits your son and it hits your wife and it hits your husband and you see them weep in the middle of the night and you find out that after 40 years, the cancer has now come in, what are you going to do when it seems like you've been all this time and never been prepared for the unsettling moment? Why? Because God always unsettles before He settles. It took 3 years of my wife and I holding tightly to the hand of God and tightly to the hand of each other, realized that our focus needed not to be ministry, it needed to be the Lord. Amen. Do you know why God allows unsettling in your life, your home, your marriage, your finances? Because He don't want you to do it out of obligation and have to. He wants you and I to do it because we love Him. Amen. Preach on, preacher, preach on. He don't want to do it just because the preacher says come to church and because we got meeting on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday night. The Lord unsettles us because He wants to settle us. Chapter number 1, verse number 1 of this same book, he calls them to be strangers. He calls them to be scattered. He says that they're in a place to where they go out and they're mixed apart. And he's doing this because these are the people that they are persecuted, if you will. I mean, you wonder why in the world would he say that? For you to understand this principle, you have to know who he's talking to. He's not talking to a heathen. He's not talking to somebody wicked. He's talking to God's people. Can I get an amen? I mean, listen, we're not talking about those that are living in the world. You're going to be unsettled. We're talking about those that are trying to live right. Coming to church on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday night for revival. Those of us that are trying to live right. God says God has to unsettle for Him to settle you. What does He say? Verse number 7, casting all your care upon Him. You know what God tells you tonight? No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what's ahead, no matter what's behind you, some of you can't step forward because you're too busy looking behind. Some of you can't grow because you're attached to yesterday. And you're so busy looking backwards that you can't step forward. Some of you are so scared about tomorrow that ain't even come yet that you're scared to death to live right today. How do you live for God? One step at a time. One step at a time. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You can't live for tomorrow because you can't control it. You can't relive yesterday, so you got to let it go. Make your mind up, but by the grace of God, today I will be who I need to be. My family will be who I need to be. And Lord, come hell or high water, no matter what storm may come or storm may blow, I will trust in you. Thank God we serve a living God tonight. How do you know this? Because this is how God works. Ask Noah. Noah had a life, had a family, everything was great. You know the Bible. And all of a sudden the Lord comes and he says, I'm going to have to destroy everything. Build an ark. Build a what? Build an ark. That's unsettling to him. You're talking about something that I've never seen. See, sometimes God will ask some of us to do something that nobody else understands. Amen, preacher. He'll ask you to do some things that nobody else understands. And it's unsettling to you because that's God's unsettling work. And all of a sudden the flood comes and things happen and we know they have a brand new start. Why? Because God always unsettles before he settles. You study all through the scripture, you go down and you look at his life and then you turn and you look at Joseph's life as the preacher said today. Listen, he was a man, he's a young person, had a coat of many colors, the coat that says, I'm loved, the coat that says, I'm somebody, the coat that says, I matter to somebody. And it seems like right in the middle of everything being great, he had his identity and all. Right. He was stripped of that coat. Now we're not talking about a heathen. We're talking about a young person that has a heartbeat to serve God. And then God's unsettling work, he gets in a place to where he's now denied by his family. Have you ever been in that place? Have you ever been unsettled to where your family, the very people that should love you, now do not treat you the way they should treat you? They don't pray for you like they should. They're not there to support you. You're trying to serve God, but it seems like the harder you serve God, the more that you're rejected by your family. I imagine this young man begin to be unsettled in his soul. Sold into slavery. Falsely accused. You talking about unsettling? Let me tell you something, friend. Just because you and I live for God don't mean the devil's going to fight fair. Preach on, preacher, preach on. There's going to be people that's going to accuse you of things and make mockery of you. They're going to say some things that's not always right. Joseph was in this place where everything was good. He loved his father. He had a good standing, but now he was stripped of his coat, put in a pit, put down in Potiphar's house. He had to leave behind his coat, and he had to run forward. And as he runs forward, he gets back, and he gets in prison. Then he gets forgotten. I would dare say he did not appreciate or assume the unsettling work of God. Preacher, like you said this morning, chapter number 50. He said, for the place I am, you meant for evil, but God meant for good. You don't know why? Because God always unsettles before he settles. What about David? Listen, I'm not meddling. I'm trying to help you understand Bible tonight. Because there's a lot of us that don't understand why God allows things in our life. We almost live like victims. We almost rather tuck our tail and run or throw in the towel and quit. That's not what God's looking for. God's looking for some folks in Lake Park, Georgia to make their mind up that no matter what happens, no matter how many times we're unsettled, I will stand for God. I will serve God. I'll keep on praying. I'll keep on preaching. I'll keep on singing. I'll keep on keeping on. Why? Because my God is faithful. David was faithful. Shepherd boy. Tending to what he was supposed to tend to. Told to be able to go out and feed his brothers. He was faithful to do what he was supposed to do. He was faithful in the small things. See, we got a lot of people that try to be faithful in the big things because it's got a big platform. But give me the people who will be faithful in the small things. The one that gives the preacher a cup of water. The one that goes and knocks on doors or tells somebody about Jesus. The one that will come up here and clean the church. Y'all help me preach tonight. He is faithful in the simple things. And all of a sudden he goes and fights Goliath. Can you imagine? He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Man, he had the power of God on his life. He knew exactly. He was looking at it spiritually. I mean, man, he's walking with the Lord. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? All of a sudden, he defeats Goliath, and man, people love him. But then all of a sudden, the unsettling comes. The very man that he helps turns and starts chasing him. He is now the target when he was actually at one time the helper. You ever felt like the very people that you love and help the most stab you? I always put it this way, those closest to us will always stab us the deepest. That's God's unsettling work. How can my husband do that? How can my wife do that? How can my children, how can my mom and dad do that to me? Listen, it's because God always unsettles before he settles. Right, Mary and Joseph, they were young teenagers, pure, living right. Matter of fact, everything was good, had dreams, and all of a sudden she's told, you know what? You're going to have a child. Also tells Joseph. I would imagine now here they live right, done right. They've had a testimony for a long time. And you know what goes on in that young lady's mind? Here I have, I've kept myself, I've been faithful. There's a lot of us that feel that way. I know we're not perfect, but if you ever felt like I've been faithful, I've been trying to do my best, and then all of a sudden she begins to think, what about the shame that's going to come to me? You say, wait a minute, she had the Son of God. I mean, we're not talking about somebody, she had the Son of God. But do you know the shame and the confusion that was in people's mind? I would dare say it was the unsettling work of God. Y'all stay with me, all right? But you and I know them today to be the most honorable parents in all the Word of God. And I say that respectfully. I know Joseph was not his father. What about Simon Peter? I'm just trying to help you to understand tonight. Jesus, you know I love you, Lord. I'll go with you. I'll die with you. Whatever it is that you need, Lord, I'll die with you. He stands up and he's got confidence. By the way, that's exactly the way we are and we should be. Amen. You ought to be able to look your man of God in the eye as well and say, preacher, I'm behind you 150%. I'm going to do whatever it is that God tells you to do. I'm going on with God. Listen, Peter was not a wrong heart by feeling that way, but he did not understand God's work. So then Jesus looks at him, eyeball to eyeball. He says, Simon, Simon, behold. That word behold, it means look at me. In other words, it says, give me your attention. Clapping, if you will. It's arresting somebody's mind. And he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. Wait a minute, Lord, you're telling me that Satan's coming after me? I don't know about you, friend, but that scares me. I'm not man enough and strong enough to fight the devil on my own. Y'all help me be preaching tonight. I'm not strong enough. I'm not wise enough to do that. There's an unsettling word that comes in. Then God says this, but when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And then we see Peter on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 getting saved. What are you saying, Brother Jason? I say this and move on. God always unsettles before he settles. There's a word that's in here in that text. Notice the word affliction. I don't like that word. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really like affliction in my life, but can I tell you something? Affliction is the instrument that God uses to be able to prepare us, to be able to teach us. Hello, look up here. Quit living like a victim. I didn't come to bring sore subject to arise for you and I to be able to walk out of here thinking, boy, we do got it rough. No, what I want you to understand is the devil's got a lot of us. He's manipulated a lot of us. He's got us deceived, if you will, thinking that it's a hard struggle to be able to live right. It's a hard struggle to be able to do right. It's a hard struggle to be able to serve right. It's a hard struggle to be able to tithe and give myself to the Lord. Don't you let the devil lie to you. We serve a God that's bigger than what he is. The battle's already won. You say, well, why does the devil fight me so much? It's not because the devil hates you. It's because he hates God. The battle ain't yours. The battle is the Lord's. I would dare say many of you know sweet, spirited Christians, prayer warriors, people that love God. How many of you know somebody right now that's either been a role model or a spiritual giant that's invested and influenced your life for the cause of Christ? Raise your hand and say amen. Now you mark it down, friend. Everybody you know, I can promise you they never got there on their own. They've went through some unsettling work. That's why they have wisdom. That's why you go and say, listen, I need you to help me. I've never been here before. I've learned these two things. God always wounds before he heals. Are you hearing me? The writer Richard Sibbs said this. He said, the greatest assurance has always come after the greatest doubts. If you believe that, say amen. If you believe that, say amen. Listen, friend, how can you ever really trust God if you've never got to a place where it's hard to even trust in God? How can you ever appreciate healing if you never had wounds? Somebody help me tonight. They sing that song, how can you appreciate the sun if you never experienced the rain? Amen. Listen, how can you appreciate the mountaintop if you've never been in the valley? Somebody help me preach. There's a purpose for it. It's God's unsettling work so God can settle us. Number two, I'll give you a picture. If you're into taking notes, I'm talking about a picture of unsettling. I don't have time to turn here, but in Jeremiah chapter 48, verse number 11, just write it down. If you take notes, go back and study it so I can save time. The Lord's talking about Israel, Moab, and what he's talking about is how they've come to that place where you have not been poured vessel to vessel. And here's what he's saying, that literally Moab is a stench. In other words, it's no good for God. You want to know why? Because the Lord taught how Israel was actually used for God's glory. By the way, God allowed them to go through many trials. How many of you know that to be true? You know why? Because God was pouring them out vessel to vessel. God has to unsettle us so he can settle us. And if God don't ever do it, we're never good for God's use. That's right. Let me give you a third thing, the peril, if you will, of unsettling. Notice what the Bible says. Verse number 7, follow with me. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And all God's people said, verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. What do you mean by the parallel, Brother Jason? As sure as you're loved in verse number 7, you're hated in verse number 8. Look up here. Whatever God does, the devil's always right behind. Look up here. You listen to me. Whatever God does, the devil's always right behind. Don't be caught unexpected. Don't be caught off guard. Listen, some of you will get back in your car tonight and go home, and the devil will already try to sit in your back seat. He might even try to get in the front seat and have y'all arguing. Amen. It's revival. The devil don't care. You came to church, the devil don't care. You understand that? He don't care. As a matter of fact, he's going to be after you more because he hates God so much. And he knows that if he can ruin you and ruin your testimony, if you get mom and dad arguing, then the children will sit back and they'll begin to see it. And then they'll get bitter at the ministry instead of loving the ministry. Are you hearing me? As sure as there's a good, there's a bad. As sure as there's a love, there's a hate. Why? Because God always unsettles before he settles. I say this in that peril number one, you have to cast all your care on him. That's what the Bible says in verse number 7. You know what I've learned? That just because we're unsettled don't mean God is. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, there have been a lot of times I've had a lot of fearful moments, scared to death, thinking that the battle's mine when the battle the whole time has been the Lord's and not mine. Just because I'm facing stormy waters don't mean God is sitting up in heaven, caught off guard, scared to death about what's happening. Are you hearing me? The second thing I'd say to you is guard against the devil. The Bible says, he says in verse number 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about, listen to this, seeking whom he may devour. God unsettles to settle. The devil unsettles to make you disappear and quit. What I'm trying to tell you is there is an enemy that's real. There's another word I want you to see, and I'll give you my last point, and I'll be done tonight.
Verse number 10, notice if you will. After ye have suffered everybody say, while. You know what that means? It's going to pass. I love that word settled. I love the word strengthened. I love the word established. I love contentment and security. I'm so thankful when everything seems to be all right. But I don't like that word after, because I know that means I got to face some things. But as I tiptoe into the next few words, I see that word while, and that tells me that whatever we come to, we'll get through. I get somebody at the piano, whoever it may be. I'll give you my last point. Keep your Bibles open. Look up here. God's not forsook you. God's not forsook you. God's not walked away. God's not forsaken everything and turned his back on you. That's not the way God works. You know what God's doing? He is settling you by unsettling you. I remember when I was a kid, my dad, my aunt pretty much raised me, but when I was a kid, my father raised me. My dad is a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Amen, right? Yes, sir. My whole family's in the military, but me. My dad's a hard man, still is. He's not passive, he's not a sissy. And I would say this, I love my daddy. Amen, I love my daddy. Look up here, teenagers. My parents ain't always been perfect, but it's the only mom and dad I've ever had and I'll ever have. Are you hearing me? You might not always agree with mom and dad. My aunt raised me, but I still only got one mama. Y'all help me tonight. Y'all help me tonight. And I remember my dad would try to teach me some things, Pastor Robbie. And he said when I was a kid, I'd always go up. My dad would always drink coffee, get up real early in the morning. He said I'd go up, and my dad used to have a big old beard. He'd come down right down here. Got tattoos all over his arms. Rides Harley Davidson's. I'll tell you something. Nobody loved on me like my daddy did. And I'd go up my daddy in the mornings, and I'd sit with him at different stuff, and he'd have coffee sitting on the table. He said, I remember when you was young, you used to always try to put your finger in that coffee. And he'd say, don't touch that coffee. Don't touch that coffee. He'd say, it's hot. And I'd say, it's hot, Daddy. He'd say, it's hot. My dad said I'd do it a couple times, and eventually he just let me just dip my finger in that coffee. And I know there's a lot of people says that's awfully mean, but you and I know why he did that. He did that because in his watch, not outside of his watch, in his watch, he had control of the situation. He knew he had to let me learn for myself to teach me what he was trying to teach me. You listen to me, there's going to be some things that you and I is going to go through that God has to let us go through so he could teach us, because we won't learn just by him telling us. My last point that I'd give you would be this, is what's the purpose? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 11. I didn't read it and I'll be done. The Bible says, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, my purpose don't always line up with God's purpose. Y'all wake up, listen to me. What God wants usually ain't always what I want. What I want ain't always what God wants. But see, the question tonight is this, is am I interested with a life of ease or a life that gives him glory? Do you know what tonight, every one of us is going to be challenged. And whether you believe it or not, here in a few moments there'll be an invitation, your pastor will get up. And every one of you are going to have to make a choice. You say, no, that's not the way I work. And I'm not trying to manipulate you to choose or come to the altar. But you listen to me. Anytime we're confronted with truth, we always have to make a choice. Either you will respond to truth or you'll walk away from truth. Y'all help me now. There's no middle ground. There's no one foot in and one foot out. Either you're going to make your mind up, Lord, I'm going to trust you when the unsettling times come, or you're just going to make your mind up, just keep living the way you do. And it all comes down to this one thing. Do I want a life of ease or a life that gives him glory? See, the purpose of the unsettling is because God is trying to make us, mold us, prepare us to use us in the future for his glory. Listen, when I was 7 years old, I went through divorce. Long time, never knew why I went through the things I went through. I made a lot of bad choices up to the age of 15, extremely bad. I moved to my aunt's, and I don't really feel liberty to share none of that. I've always wondered, God, why did I go through those things? Man, why did I have to have a divorced home? Why did the only black eye that I ever have to come from my daddy? Why, as a child, did I have to sit in the living room, act like I was asleep, and watch my dad and mom fight and her go to the hospital because of a broken jaw? Why did I have to be raised in beer bottles and pot smoking and partying and everything, people cussing and fighting all the time? Why did I try this and try this and try that? And I just say that for the sake of kids being in here. But you know, I stand before you now, a 38-year-old man, and I still don't know everything, why God let me go through all I go through, but I say the same thing that Brother Ken Bowman said. There's a great price that had to be paid for me to get to where I am. And until you look somebody in the eyes and say, I've been where you are, and let me tell you, the same God that did it for me is the same God that will do it for you. Amen. There's a church right here that God's going to mold you and put you through some unsettling times. Some of you are feeling it individually and in your families. There's going to come a time, it's your daughter-in-law, right? There's going to come a time, now she's saved. By the way, I'm proud of you for coming back to church on a Sunday night after you got saved. Amen. There's going to be some times she's going to come to you, and you're not going to know why you're going through what you're going through, but when she sits down, you're going to be able to look at her and say, listen, I know what it feels like not to have control, but I want you to know the same God that gave me peace is the same God that will help you. Amen. I say this in closing. Andrew Murray was a great man. He was sick, bedridden was his back. He couldn't get out of the bed. He was sitting upstairs. He had a maid that was helping him. There's a lady that knocked at the door. Many people went to him for wisdom. He was of no use and really had just kind of blocked himself off. The maid came up. She says, I'm sorry to bother you, but there's a lady down here really desperate. She needs some help. Do you have any words of wisdom? He didn't really have anything to say. You got to remember, this is a broken man. This is a man that was down. He couldn't get up and do what he had used to do. He was now bedridden. He was struggling. He thought for a moment, and the Holy Ghost told him to give him a piece of paper. There was a piece of paper he had by his bed that as he laid there, when he thought that God wasn't using him, he was writing down some things the Holy Ghost was teaching him. You ever been there before when God just kind of cripples you and you just write down things you learn? He said, you take this piece of paper and you go give it to her. He took it to her and went down there. That maid opened up and she gave it to him, and this is what it said. I am here by God's appointment, in his keeping, under his training, and for his time. You listen, you and me will never know sometimes why we go through what we go through. But let me say this, no matter where you are, no matter what you face, no matter how hard it is, I say the same thing he said. You are where you are by God's appointment. You are always in his keeping, always under his training. And listen, always for his time. Make your mind up to let God have his unsettling work so he can settle you. Let revival change your heart this week. And listen, a view to be able to see why God allows what God allows. Understand me? Don't be bitter at what God allows. Be thankful and grow through what God allows. Father, I love you. Use your word tonight to help us understand the unsettling work. God, let us make our mind up. Lord, my heart's desire is for folks to draw close to you. Lord, not to understand why you do what you do, but to understand the process. God, we're growing and unsettling. It's not a thing to be able to make us quit. But God, I pray that we would make our mind up in this revival meeting. Not to trust the preacher, not to trust the church, not to trust circumstances. But God, that we would put our trust in you. And know that, God, that all your settling works always come after your unsettling. Lord, I pray that you would settle this in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. As the pastor comes, you stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. You mind the Lord. Let God help you tonight. Let God help you.
There's room on the altar tonight if you hadn't already come. Why don't you make your way down here and find a place. You make these front rows, these chairs, you make them an altar. There's plenty of room. You come on. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're in your seat, you're not here, then not here at the altar, then I want you to pray for these that are. There's so many people we go to church with, and we assume that everything's all right, not understanding how unsettled they are at the time. Well, what a message tonight for all of us. Over and over, I kept hearing, don't be the victim. Don't play the victim. God's doing some great things. Sometimes he has to shake us up. Sometimes, all time, he has to unsettle us, as we learned tonight. I wonder tonight if everybody's heads bowed tonight. The preacher didn't preach a salvation message this morning, and five people got saved. I believe God's been moving, God's been using Brother Jason and services. Maybe tonight God spoke to you. Maybe tonight there'd be somebody in here, nobody's looking around, but maybe there'd be somebody in here say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If that's you tonight, I want you to just simply raise your hand for me. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I do not know whether I go to heaven or hell. I don't know, preacher. Just raise your hand right up. We'll not embarrass you. I just want to know how to end the service. Is anybody like that? Just raise your hand right up and you can put it back down. Preacher, I don't know. All right. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I sure am thankful, Lord, for our services today, God. Lord, how you use Brother Jason. Lord, I thank it tonight, Lord, what a message, Lord, that you gave to him to speak to us. So many in our church are going through things that are unsettling. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that they were encouraged, Lord, to continue on. Lord, to put one foot in front of the other, Lord, allow you to lead, guide, and direct us. Lord, that you may settle us after a while. God, we thank you. Lord, for the message. We thank you for the messenger. Lord, we thank you for the good singing, Lord, to the choir, Miss Tiffany. Lord, you spoke to me through all of that. Lord, that's before the preaching ever began. Lord, I pray that you continue to do a work in our lives. Lord, as we peel back the onion piece by piece, God, remove things in our lives, Lord. Get to a place, Lord, where you have control. Lord, where we allow you to be the Lord of our lives. Lord, thank you for a time of revival. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would revive us again. Lord, that we may give you all the honor and all the glory. Lord, that you may get all the honor and all the glory out of our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.